Blog Talk Radio.
It's another beautiful day on Brown Sugar Radio. Get ready to ignite a passion and purpose of overflow. Cherish the value of being you and nurture your soul. Handle your business like a boss and take full control. I invite you to engage upon a journey of greatness and use the gifts within that God has made. This is the time to win and not to lose. So sit back, relax, and take off the blues. Get ready for another exciting segment here on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's Brown Sugar Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back at it again. I am so excited to have you here this Tuesday night as we continue with one of the hottest podcasts here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your show host, Kim Bullock Hendricks, formerly known as Brown Sugar. Just really excited to have one of my classic co-host back again. He also formerly was known as Sound Off, now has his own show here on Blog Talk Radio. We go way back. We've done some heavy hitter shows. I'm talking Barack Obama shows. Listen, we did some stuff. We had celebrities he was interviewing with me, and we just had a really wonderful time. And so also, I just want for everyone to know that's joining us tonight, you can actually click on the button, join us in the chat. We want for you to, you know, chime in, get involved in the conversation, okay? And then you can also give us a call here live at 319-527-6244 for those of you who would love to, you know, join us in the conversation. But now, you know, like I said, a lot of my listeners also know him as Harold Arrow. So he's going to be my guest co-host tonight with our topic. And so welcome back to Brown Sugar Radio.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm glad you had me.
Okay. Oh, yes. Well, you know, it's just crazy because, like I said, we go way, way back. I mean, man. I'm talking years. Yes. Over 10 years. I started Brown Sugar Radio in 2007, I believe it was, which is crazy. It went strong for several years. And then, you know, took a break, and I'm back. And so I'm just glad to have you be a part of our topic tonight. Using wisdom while living in faith. And this is going to be real juicy. Real juicy. Because, you know, what's phenomenal about this particular topic is with us going through this pandemic, what I found, and you probably can agree with me on this, is that a lot of various individuals have either put their life on hold or they're completely paralyzed by fear. They're not living in their true divine calling, right, that God called them to live in. And so I'm really excited to hear your thoughts on this. We got some wonderful things that we want to discuss tonight. But before I do that, share with us your personal experience, you know, as far as how have you been dealing pandemic?
Well, the biggest thing is isolation. Holidays, gatherings, important events that you just have to make sacrifices. You have to make sacrifices. I think the worst is the passing of a loved one or a friend. And the homegoing services are so scaled down. You want to pay your respects, but there's fear. There's all of these people. And, you know, you want to say goodbye in a proper way, but there's just so much on the line that you have to sacrifice, and it's scaled down, and you don't want it to downplay your relationship with that person. But this pandemic is something we've never experienced before, and there is there's nothing for this, you know, to guide you by. You know, it's about, you know, looking out for you and your family and staying healthy. So a lot of things have to be sacrificed in lieu of that. So that's the biggest thing, you know, gatherings and, you know, other people have finances, you know, their jobs and, you know, trying to, you know, keep things that they own. It's just, you know, it's and then the leadership behind it. That's the most frustrating, that we have no, you know, viable leadership right now, you know, leading us through this pandemic. So those are the things for me. Those are the things for me.
Mm-hmm. Good grief. And you know, that is true, because when a lot of these funerals that you see are happening, it's truly sad because people can't even pay their respects the way they want to due to the limited amount of individuals that can either attend or
right.
a limited amount of people that are even afraid to come out. Some of them are like, listen, I've even seen some people doing Zoom funerals because everybody couldn't
yep.
come out. They're on Zoom or they're on Facebook Live. Our new normal has really changed the way that we conduct ourselves. But I want to encourage everyone tonight, yeah, we're going to give you some tips to be encouraged on what you need to do, you know, to continue to have faith, continue to push and do your dreams. I had actually just got back in from Orlando, and then I'm headed out again on Thursday. I've got such a tight schedule this month. And I remember people asked me, like, you know, Kim, you're not afraid. You're not afraid to be out there traveling in this virus and this, that, and the other, especially in Florida. The virus is hot in Florida. And I had to tell myself, first of all, just being a mindset coach, I've always thought differently. Not that I think better than anyone else, just different. And I've always viewed
exactly.
life as the glass half full. I'm not saying this virus is not real. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take it serious. But what I will say is that we have to do all that we can within our own human capability, which is, you know, making sure we wash our hands, use our sanitizer, keep your mask on. You know, if you even want to carry wipes with you while you're traveling, do what you can
mm-hmm.
within your power. But we got to trust God with the rest.
That's right.
You can, contract, and this is what people don't understand. You don't have to leave to go out of town to contract the virus. There's people
right.
who have caught it just going to the grocery store and gas necessities, things they need, and haven't made it.
That's correct. So true.
You know, so I just want to encourage people tonight, don't live in fear. Don't let this pandemic paralyze you. Please don't let it paralyze you. You know, use wisdom. I'm always going to tell you, make sure you use wisdom. Make sure that, you know, you are taking care of your body, you're eating right, taking your vitamins. Some tips that I would like to provide tonight is just what you can do as boosting your immune system. You know, now me personally, and then I want you to share what you do also, Harold. What
mm-hmm.
I've done in the last, since March, actually the last 9 months, wow. I take vitamin C. I take zinc, and then I take elderberry and vitamin D every single
okay.
morning. I take two vitamins, and the other one's a mineral, and then the other one, elderberry, is an herb, you know. And I have been doing really well on that, you know what I'm saying? But these are things that you can proactively do, you know, to just help boost your immune system. And like I said, at the end of the day, whatever happens, the end story is always God. We can't control what's going to happen, but you just do what you can within your choices. So share with us, Harold, like, what are some things that you may have done, yeah, like to boost your immune system or, you know what I'm saying, to help your body, let's say, if it did,
well,
you know, come in contact with COVID?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I pretty much kept the same regimen health-wise I always have. And that's just I drink water.
Okay.
I drink water, and I'm going to be honest with you, may do a soda
okay.
every now and then, but I've been drinking water since I've been knee-high to a duck. And when I go get physicals and stuff like that, my physician's like, man, I can't believe it, man. You're in excellent shape, and what's your secret? I mean, do you work out? No. Do you eat healthy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I eat junk food, you know, every now and then. Do you drink sociably? Now, I will add
right.
this. Drinking, I'm not one of those people that will keep alcohol at the house. It's not a necessity. If I do, it'll be
right.
for guests or something like that. But
water,
man. Water has always been my thing. And add it to it, fruit, vegetables. You know, when you hit a
mm-hmm.
certain age, you kind of have to, you know, pick it up a little bit. But other than that, that's it. Now, earlier in life, I've always been athletic, you know, sports-wise. So I've always got that exercise regimen on, but if I had to pinpoint one thing, it's just H2O. That's pretty much it.
How much water would you say that you drink a day? You like a gallon a day, a liter?
I drink water with everything, every meal, when I'm thirsty. If you look in my refrigerator, you will see nothing but bottled water, pitchers of water. That's it. I mean, that's what I drink with everything. When I'm thirsty, that's what I drink. If I had to put a number on it, probably a gallon and a half to 2 gallons.
Oh, that's good. That's real good. Do you put, like, a lemon or anything in your water? Or you just drink it straight?
Straight water.
Okay. Yep. And that's good, you know, because it helps that your body to stay hydrated and the organs to function properly, you know. And I think that's beautiful. Yeah, it is. It's so important. A lot of people don't realize how important. I know they probably like, that's it, drink water. Yeah, that's it. Something that simple.
I mean, to be honest with you, that's it. I mean, people ask me all the time, you know, when they ask my age or I tell my age, they don't believe it. I have to show ID. They don't believe it. And the only thing I can pinpoint it on is water. That's it.
Okay. Yep. But no, that's good. It's good because, you know, what you're doing is showing everything that we need is already here on Earth. And that's, you know, look at natural things like vitamins and herbs and water. We're giving a lot of holistic tips tonight, which is simple, you know, simple things to do. You know, I also started working out at the gym. That's something that I just recently started to do for self-care, and that helps to boost your immune system, you know. But, yeah, drinking a ton of water, I could definitely see how that could help, you know.
Exactly.
What are your thoughts when it comes to individuals that are so scared to leave their home, scared to travel, to live? Because of this virus, what advice would you have for somebody such as that?
You have to evaluate your own situation, your own health, your age. I think the biggest thing with this pandemic is we have to look out for the elderly, because it is a factor of how your body is affected by this disease. By this virus, if you're healthy, you know, if you have breakdowns in your body prior to getting COVID-19, it's going to advance. So you know, it's going to attack your immune system. So that's why the priority is anybody elderly in your family, you know, you have to look out for them and keep them in and you know, pretty much do a lot of things for them as a caregiver. But wear your mask. Wear your mask. Stay sanitized. I mean, the sad thing about this pandemic is the leadership, where it's confusing so many people. You have government officials going against the medical professionals who are telling you what to do to get through this pandemic until there's a viable vaccine, you know, ready. But, you know, one side's telling you this, the other side's telling you that, and you pretty much have to take this on upon yourself, evaluate your situation, and go from there. If you don't have to be out there other than your employment, you have to sacrifice the leisure time and the entertainment and all of that good stuff. You have to put that aside. And you just got to stay safe till we get some type of stronghold and direction on this pandemic. So that's what I tell everybody. You have to evaluate your own situation. It's like the whole schooling thing. If you don't feel comfortable sending your kids to school, keep them at home, homeschool, because so much can happen with these kids going to school and bringing that back home. You could have the healthiest, cleanest home, you know, around, and these kids come back from elementary, middle school, high school, college, or whatever, and then your whole family's infected. So you have to take this upon yourself and make that decision.
That is so true, you know. And I think it's important for us to not only educate, you know, our family members and our loved ones, but also that we take the time out, you know, to enjoy the time that we have with them. Like, you don't want to be so fearful that you're afraid to step out in the backyard of your home, or you're afraid, you know what I'm saying, to get a beautiful fresh air, you know. Some people are even scared to roll their windows down in their car. You know, I heard one lady, she was like, oh, no, I'm not rolling my window down. COVID could be in the air. And I'm like, girl, enjoy this beautiful planet that God has created. You know,
exactly.
Just, of course, make sure no one's around you. You know, make sure, you know, if you certain things that you want to do, you just got to make
absolutely.
Sure that, you know, you check your surroundings, you know.
That's it. You know, the main thing is we can't stop living, you know. You can't
right.
stop living. You know, you have to keep living. And, I mean, we're a country. We're a people that we've seen the worst of the worst in time, in generations,
mm-hmm.
in sectors, you know. But we've come out of it. Now, this is the biggest challenge. I will say that. This is the biggest challenge by far. But we're resilient people. And I'm speaking to everybody, unified. We're a resilient force.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you
absolutely.
Just stay the course, stay prayed up, and do the things you're supposed to do within your limitations, we'll get through this. We just have to stay unified and you know, get along with each other and cut out the simple stuff. You know?
Absolutely. And so how are things with you being, you're in Atlanta, and I know
mm-hmm.
that you, man, I'm telling you, I'm so proud of your mayor out there, honey. She, Ms. Lakeisha, don't play. Own it. How have
exactly.
things been? Do you see the community really pulling together in order to help make, you know, a difference, or are people just kind of to themselves, like, whatever, it ain't my problem? Like, what's been the vibe out there in Atlanta with this pandemic?
Atlanta, you have to understand, and Georgia as a whole, I've always called it a big pot of homemade Louisiana gumbo, because you have so many different sectors in that pot. And that's Atlanta. Native Atlantans, that's a dying breed here now. I mean, you
oh,
could
wow.
go a week. Yeah, you could go a week in Atlanta and not run into a Native Atlantan, you know? Someone that's lived here all your life. So when you talk about the city as a whole, one of the things that bothers me the most in Atlanta is that the migration climate of people that relocate in this city tend to hold a lot of their morals and values from the cities that they come from and the regions that they come from. And
mm-hmm.
they don't adapt to Atlanta and embrace Atlanta as my new home. This is my new foundation. There's a lot of down-talking. There's a lot of negative, you know, comments, you know, talking about the locals, oh, you guys are country, all this good stuff. The thing about it, we've been here. This is home. You know, we've been here when Atlanta was nothing but a dot on the map, but it was still Atlanta. It was still a thriving city without a lot of the migration. All we ask is come here, enjoy the city, love the city, and treat it as your own. Don't go against the
wow.
grain. Don't come to Atlanta and move to Atlanta and get what
yeah.
you're going to get out of it, profit from it, but yet down this city. That's all we're saying. So it's hard to find unification in Atlanta when there are so many people from so many other distant, vast regions that, you know, don't accept this city for what it is, you know, as the locals and the natives have, when nobody knew anything about Atlanta. Because anybody that migrates to Atlanta, 9 times out of 10, you are bettering your situation. You are bettering your situation from where you came from.
When you leave, when you're moving to Atlanta.
That's the purpose for moving here. That's the purpose.
Mm.
Nobody uproots and just moves to Atlanta just because. They've done their research. They know
mm-hmm.
what's here. They know the opportunity.
Right, absolutely. That's a good point that you said, you know. And I really think that it's important for us to consider that, you know, when you're thinking about moving anywhere, you know, definitely your homework. But yeah, wow.
I mean, one thing about Atlanta too, I'm sure you got to have patience in this city. You got to have patience.
Okay.
You got to have patience. You got to be able to deal with traffic, and you know, you got to be able to deal with rude people. You know, you got to be able to deal with some things here. It's not all going to be gravy.
That's awesome. I like the fact that, you know, you're just keeping it honest, because a lot of people think, oh, yeah, we're going to Atlanta and it's going to be lit and we're going to have a good time and blah, blah, blah. And then you get down there and you're
exactly.
like, well, see, what happened was.
It's something totally different. Atlanta is a money city now. I'm just going to be real. Little Hollywood, little New York, whatever you want to call it. But it's a money city. You have to come to this city and be prepared to strive. I mean, you're not going to come to this city and just stay stagnant and progress. You really got to go out and get it, because it's a competitive force here. It's a very competitive force here. A lot of people with money. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to come here and just stay in one position, that's doable too. But when you come here and see the big lights and the bright city and you see others around you thriving to the next level, leveling up, that's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. You could have stayed where you were to stay stagnant in one position. When you come here to level up.
Okay. Yes. I love it. And there's a lot of the historical black colleges, too, that are in Atlanta, right? Which I think
Absolutely.
Is really, it's a lot of history, period, a lot of black culture in Atlanta, which
Absolutely.
I find just fascinating. You know, so do you feel in a heavily populated area, you know, where there is a ton of culture for the black community, that we are taking COVID more seriously? Because one of the things that concerned me as a black woman was that we were the highest number. Remember when it first came out and black people were dying by alarming rates? You remember that? I
Absolutely.
Mean, it was just ridiculous.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I didn't know if that was either because they just didn't take it serious enough, they didn't have the health care they needed. You know what I'm saying? What do you feel? Why we
you know,
were such at high stakes?
You know what? I'll say this, and it's a, you know, it's a tough statement I'll make, but one thing about our people, black people, just saying it is not enough. You got to feel it. You got to see numbers. What I
yes.
say to you is, okay, show me. You know, I'm like St. Louis, the show me state. All that talking, all that chirping, that don't mean jack to me. Then you start seeing bodies dropping left and right. Then it's like, oh, okay, this shit is real. And it shouldn't
yeah,
take that.
Right.
It shouldn't
yeah.
take that.
I
if you get
New
on
York
waters,
woke everybody up. New York started
exactly.
hitting them numbers hard.
Exactly. If you're in your bed and someone calls you and say, yo, your house is on fire, don't question it. Get the fuck out the house. Get out the house.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, why would you question that?
Exactly. Like the pandemic was just made up. It was just made up.
Yeah,
you know, there are too many people. There are too many people looking for conspiracy theories. Wow, this thing is just ravaging people, taking lives, you know?
Yeah,
you can't sit up
yeah,
and wonder absolutely. Where it's coming from, who's at fault, or is the government just profiting off? No, save yourself.
Uh-huh.
And save others.
Yeah,
that,
they,
that's
a lot
the
of these
problems
are conspiracy. Yeah, they this is a fake virus they made up to make money.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm like,
it.
No.
I
never thought it was fake.
But I blame the government for that, because there's so much distrust. There's so much distrust
mm-hmm.
in the government, specifically this administration. I can't blame the next person for taking a double take, you know? Taking a double take.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, is this really real, you know? We have leadership right now that is not to be trusted with anything. But I can't blame the next
yes.
person for, you know, questioning something. You know, but when you have
mm-hmm,
facts in
mm-hmm.
front of you and you have a death toll at this climate, it's unreal. I'm going to share something with you, Brown, that I saw in an article about 2 weeks ago. And it was staggering.
Okay.
It was staggering as it relates to COVID. There was an article, and they were speaking about 9/11 and all the lives that were lost during 9/11. And every year for 9/11, they read every name off of the people that perished, you know, during 9/11. That entire list takes 3.5 to 4 hours when they read one name after the other. When the number was 250,000 deaths in the U.S., there was an article that stated if they were to read all the names perished since the COVID-19 pandemic, it would take 10 days. And I'm talking 10 straight days, 24 hours, reading names after names. 10 days.
Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy. You know, that's a lot of people. And, you know, the thing about it is that we started, at least I know for most of us, and I'm sure you're right along with me, started 2020 excited. Everybody kept saying, oh, new decade, you know, 2020. I just knew this was going to be the year of great things happening. And don't get me wrong, I have still accomplished most of my goals. There was a few that got delayed, you know, but I'm not going to cancel my dreams. I'm just postponing them.
There you go.
However,
there you go.
I just began to notice that, wow, you know, this year took a huge 360. And it started with Kobe. Remember that?
Absolutely.
That's the way everybody was shocked. We was like, oh, wow, we just knew that was it. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. Kobe gone, and he was only in his 40s, maybe? Wasn't he only 40-something?
Who are you speaking of?
Kobe Bryant.
Oh, Kobe Bryant. Yes, Kobe was in his 40s.
Yeah, when Kobe passed away in January, shock of 2020, remember?
Yeah, without a doubt.
The pandemic hit.
I think he was approaching right at 40 because he was 18 when he entered the league, and I think he did 20 years. So he was at 38 or 39.
That's crazy. But, I mean, you know, this whole year just started off just crazy to me. So I'm just really excited. I can't wait to see what's going to happen, you know, with 2021.
Absolutely.
I really am optimistic about this year. I'm ready to close 2020. It's just been a lot of pain, a lot of grief. And, but you know how they say, through pain comes, you know, growth. And
absolutely.
As painful as it is, yeah, you know, we're all learning. We're all learning from this. What would you say has been the most valuable lesson that you've learned in 2020?
Most valuable lesson I've learned in 2020. I'll tell you, from an African-American perspective, everything we've seen in 2020 from this administration with the president and the division, the issues with young black men being shot down in the street by police officers, the reaction to it, rioting. We still haven't figured out this rioting thing, you know, tearing down our own neighborhoods and that type
of
stuff.
That was crazy, yeah. Right.
And then you add in the COVID factor and all of the uncertainty with it, like, okay, it's killing more of us than them. When you factor all of that in, and then getting back to this administration and Trump and his division and the total extinction of African-Americans, as I see it, as his motive, you know, his agenda. The one thing I take from it, as it relates to our people, and I've said this many a times on blogs and posts and all kind of things, if we don't get it together after all of this in 2020 with the handwriting on the wall, as a people, if we don't get it together and we don't unify and we don't come together and we don't save ourselves, it will never happen. Never happen if it doesn't surface right here. Because make no mistake about it, we're the only race with this type of division amongst one another. You can try to sugarcoat it any way you want to. We're the only race that backbites, crabs in a bucket, whatever you want to call it. We just don't have any unity, and it's over the simplest, stupidest things. You know, I get it. Money, wealth, fame, all of that good stuff, but we hate over simple stuff, materialistic stuff, you know?
And
it's just this division, man, it's killing our race, and we're giving the opposition the ammunition to take us right on out. We're giving them, you know, there was a story once an old head told me. He said the opposition, the powers that be, the forces against our people, they're sitting on top of the hill. They have their guns loaded. They're aimed. They're targeted right on us. They're getting ready to run down that hill into the valley and take us out. But right before the charge command is given, the head general says, "Wait, hold up, guys, hold up. Cease fire, cease fire. Put your weapons down and just look." So they look down in the valley. And the general said, "We don't have to do a damn thing. Just look. They're doing the work for us. They're killing themselves."
Wow.
They're killing
That's crazy.
It's military time.
Crazy.
It's military time. You know, our job is done. So you know, you have to look at that and say, when are we going to save ourselves? You know.
Absolutely. You can. That's true. That's so true. And one last thing I want to leave with tonight before we close, because we're actually a few minutes over, but I just enjoy talking about this because I want to bring as much awareness as possible, you know, to this.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the new year and the vaccine, I've heard different about taking the vaccine. Some are saying immunity, you know, natural immunity is stronger than taking the shot, right, for the vaccine.
Absolutely.
However, my only concern, I do agree with that 1,000%, okay? My only concern is you're playing Russian roulette. This is just my personal opinion, and then I want to hear yours. You're playing Russian roulette because you don't know if you're in that 50% that's going to make it or the 50% that's not. You don't actually know when you contract the virus. So that's the part that's uncertain. Let's say if they knew, everybody with a type O blood type, those are the ones that, you know, are more susceptible to getting the worst case of COVID, right?
Absolutely.
If we knew that, then okay, everybody with the O blood type, get the vaccine. But we don't know. We don't know if it's blood type. We don't know if it's genetic. We don't know why some people are worse off than others. Other than the simple fact that couple of things we do need to take in consideration, the elderly and those with weakened immune systems, such as if you have lupus, right, or if you're battling cancer or something like that, all right? So what are your thoughts on that?
With this virus, there are going to be many that they're not going to rush into it. They're not going to be the first guinea pigs to sample it. I don't care what the tests say, what all the pre-tests, you know, qualifications, all of that good stuff of the vaccine say. Nobody is going to be steadfast to be the first ones to take this vaccine is because there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of distrust with the government. You know, who's it coming from? You know, who's backing this? So you're going to have a lot of people that are not going to be as steadfast to be the first ones to jump at this vaccine. Now, I say this, if that's the way you feel, if that's the position you're coming from, you need to protect yourselves now and keep from catching the COVID. You know, that's your safeguard. You know, if you don't trust
right.
But it's because,
right.
I mean, you can take the vaccine, get healed, and, you know, catch it again, you know? You know, the vaccine is not going to be the answer overnight. And that's what people need to understand. First of all, there's supply and demand. There's supply and demand. Who's going to get it? Who's going to be the first ones to have it administered? And who's going to want to be the first ones, you know?
Exactly.
That's what you have to reset. I think the elderly, again, I always, you know, point that out. They're going to be the first ones, you know, if infected, that are going to be, I think, served. Then you have the factor of people with money, you know, which is unfair. But that's a factor.
Yep, it is.
But,
it really is.
You know, I want to say this. With this whole COVID thing, the beautiful thing about it, in the realm and aspect of all of it, is each individual has control over how you're going to approach this. You have a say-so. You have control, you know? But the ultimate control is to protect yourself and stay healthy and don't contract this virus. And then just go from there.
That's it. That's it right there. That's it. That's all. You didn't say a word. Just try your best to not contract it. You know, I understand there's only so much within our human capability that we can do. But, I mean, it's just important to make sure that, you know, you take those necessary precautions, you know, especially when you're out and about, whether it's locally, nationally, or internationally, you know. So what I want to leave our listeners with tonight, I was saying, come up with, you know, a new optimistic plan, you know, have a positive view on this year, something that you can learn. And for me, I've definitely learned to have more gratitude. I thought 2020 was a year that was about, okay, Lord, this is what, you know, I want to achieve and I want to go to the next level, which I still do. But what God taught me out of all this, appreciate what I have now and where I'm at.
Absolutely.
Appreciate this process, this time. And then, of course, once I get to the next level, I'll appreciate that even greater. You know,
absolutely.
And just every morning having that gratitude, you know, and just showing the people you love, showing your passions, your habit, your hobbies, you know, that, hey, I'm going to utilize this gift that I have from God to the fullest because tomorrow's not promised.
That's
and
right.
The last thing I want to say is that for having a power plan, you know, for 2021 is whatever you didn't get to accomplish in 2020, I want you to come back, re-strategize even harder for 2021, you know, and find ways that you can do it. Like, for instance, for me, what I'm going to do, instead of actually conducting a book tour, I know you see I just launched my book this year, I'm going to do a virtual book tour. So I'm still going to do the same plan, but I'm doing it smarter. You know, now for the business opportunities and things that I have to go in person, still going to do it. Just make sure that I'm protected really well, you know, when I do it. But, you know, you just got to do what you got to do. And I know you operate a business, too. So there's things that you also are re-strategizing, right, for your business.
That's right.
All right. Well, definitely. Yeah. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Did you have any last words that you'd like to say before we close for tonight?
No, I enjoyed the conversation. I enjoyed the conversation fully.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming back to Brown Sugar Radio. Definitely, we'd love to have you back again, Harold. And thank you for contributing your thoughts, okay?
Oh, without a doubt. But I'll come back anytime.
All right. All right, great. Thank you. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and close. Please make sure to follow Brown Sugar Radio on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll see you back next week. All right, good night.
Okay.